Today's lesson comes from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Hear God's word. So Jesus left the Judean countryside, and he went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his own son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. And Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. And Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. And the Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. And Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink, and I'd give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. And anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty and won't ever have to come back to this well again." And he said, "Go and call your husband and then come back." "I have no husband," she said. "That's nicely put. I have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough." "Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right?" "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark, and we Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit, and those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration." And the woman said, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when he arrives, we'll get the whole story." "I am he," said Jesus. "You don't have to wait any longer or look any further." Just then, his disciples came back, and they were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of a woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. And the woman took the hint and left in her confusion. And she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, "Come see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?" And they went out to see for themselves. In the meantime, the disciples pressed him, "Rabbi, eat. Aren't you going to eat?" He told them, "I have food to eat you know nothing about." The disciples were puzzled. Well, who could have brought him food? And Jesus said, The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. And as you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months, it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes. Take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. And the harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in this grain that's ripe for eternal life. Now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester, triumphant. That's the truth of the saying, the one who sows, that one harvests. I sent you to harvest a field you never worked. Without lifting a finger, you've walked in on a field worked long and hard by others. Many of the Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him because of the woman's witness. He knew all about the things I did. He knows me inside and out. They asked him to stay on, so Jesus stayed 2 days. And a lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. They said to the woman, "We're no longer taking this on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves, and we know it for sure. He's the Savior of the world." May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It was just another day like any other, or so I thought. I was headed to the well to get water, as I did every day around noon. And I intentionally would go at noon because that was the one way that I could avoid everyone else, because most people came and got their water during the night. So I was surprised when I got to the well to see this man sitting there. He looked tired. He was clearly Jewish. So I figured I was safe because he would never talk to me. I could just get my water and go. I was about to do so when I heard his voice. And I confess I jumped. I was so startled. He said, "Could you get me a drink?" Get him a drink? Now, you have to understand, first of all, that as a woman, I had no value, not even to my own people, never mind to a Jew. In fact, the Jews would argue whether we women even had souls or were even actually people. We were considered to be dirty, and we were not very welcome, and especially by the Jews. And then for me to be a Samaritan on top of that, double whammy. So here was this Jew asking me, a woman, a Samaritan, for something to drink, something that I would be handling. It blew my mind. And it blew my mind even more when he went on to say that, you know, that God is a God who is generous and loving. I'm not sure I really knew that God or trusted that God or trusted that there was anyone who could be generous to me or loving. And then he went on to talk about how if he could, that he would give me living water, something that I really couldn't understand. He tried to explain that it was something whereas the water in the well was something where we would always get thirsty again, but this living water, I would never be thirsty again. Sign me up for that. I would love to not have to haul water every single day from the well. But clearly he was talking about something more. But still, I wanted him to know. I was interested. I wanted some of that living water. And then he said, "Great. Go get your husband." I have no husband. Why lie? It's true. I have no husband. And I was stunned, though, when he went on to say, "Yes, you've had five husbands, and you're now living with a man who is not your husband. How did he know that? I mean, it was true, but how did the stranger even know that? But here's the really strange thing, is that I have felt such shame for this all these years, and yet somehow, in that moment, I actually felt free. Now, you have to understand that in our culture, a woman had no choice about marriage, and a woman had no choice about divorce. So even though I might be blamed for all those marriages, I had no choice in any of them. And imagine for a moment how I would feel essentially being abandoned, not by one husband, but by five husbands. A sense of failure. One time after another, somehow not living up to it, whatever it is that I'm supposed to be, and I wasn't even sure what that was, never mind knowing how to live it. And now, living with a man who didn't even care enough about me to marry me. He knew that about me. But he seemed to know something more. He went on to talk about a future that I could barely wrap my brain around. A different time, a different place where people would be accepted and loved and valued. And in that moment with him, it wasn't just what he said, but how he made me feel. Something I've never felt before. Suddenly, I was a human being. I was someone who had value. I was someone who had a future with some hope. I'd heard about the Messiah, but I had never dared really believe, and I didn't realize. I was the first one he told. Me, a nobody, a woman, rejected, the bottom of the bottom. And he told me who he was. And I could tell it was true. I could tell it was true. He knew me. And he not only knew me, he knew who I could be. He knew who I could be. Well, our conversation was interrupted when his disciples showed up, and I could see by the look on their faces that I was not too welcome. And so I got myself together the best I could and left. But of course, I was so excited and so blown away by everything that I forgot my water pot, the reason why I had come. And I couldn't keep it to myself. Me, who had continued to hide and had tried to stay away from everyone, who didn't want to talk or be seen, I went back to the village and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I couldn't keep from telling and sharing. I've seen him. I've seen him. He's here. The Messiah has come. And they listened. They listened to me, a nobody, a woman. Somehow they heard. They heard. And they wanted to see too. And Jesus stayed and he talked with them. And the lives that he changed, the lives he changed and continues to change. I share this with you because if there is hope for me, there is hope for you. And just as when you see a butterfly, you don't say, "Wow, look how that worm turned out. That ugly little worm." No. When God turns us into that butterfly, we soar. and we're no longer the worm. Let us pray. Almighty God, so many of us are lost. So many of us are afraid. So many of us feel we have no value and have no hope. But you are the one who transforms out of your love. Help us to claim that love and to share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.